Beijing cuts off 56 U.S. defense contractors as retaliation widens beyond semiconductors. And number 10,022, takeaways by Plaquemines AI Hyde and number 9,650, Beijing imposed trade restrictions on 56 U.S. defense and aerospace companies, including Boeing, Lockheed Martin, Anduril Industries, and L.E. Harris Technologies. China and #X27's restrictions mark the most sweeping unilateral action against U.S. industrial firms in the current cycle, expanding beyond traditional defense primes to companies operating at the intersection of commercial aerospace and military technology. The restrictions cover trade in goods and services with the named companies, though the precise legal mechanisms and full scope of permitted versus prohibited transactions were not publicly disclosed. Beijing's decision to restrict trade with 56 American defense and aerospace companies marks the most sweeping unilateral action China has taken against U.S. industrial firms in the current cycle, targeting names from legacy primes like Boeing and Lockheed Martin to next-generation defense technology companies like Anduril Industries and L.E. Harris Technologies. The restrictions, reported by Manufacturing Dive, cover trade in goods and services with the named companies, though the precise legal mechanisms and full scope of permitted versus prohibited transactions were not disclosed in available public reporting. What is clear, China has expanded its target list beyond the traditional defense primes to include firms operating at the intersection of commercial aerospace and military technology, a deliberate escalation that complicates supply chain planning for the entire U.S. industrial base. Specific dollar figures tied to affected trade volumes were not disclosed in publicly available reporting at the time of writing. The inclusion of Boeing alongside pure-play defense contractors signals a shift in Chinese strategy. Boeing's commercial aviation division supplies aircraft and parts globally, and its exposure to Chinese airline customers, previously valued in the tens of billions of dollars across multi-year fleet orders, historical figures as disclosed in Boeing's prior annual reports, gives Beijing a lever that extends well beyond the Pentagon's procurement universe. This is no longer a dispute between governments over tariffs. It is a deliberate targeting of the U.S. industrial base at its production layer, and every institutional investor with exposure to aerospace and defense primes needs to reprice that risk today. The 56-firm list rewrites the rules of engagement for defense supply chains. China's blacklist does not distinguish between companies whose primary revenue is defense contracts and those, like Boeing, for whom commercial aviation represents the dominant business line. That blurring is intentional. By placing commercial adjacent firms on a trade restriction list alongside pure defense contractors, Beijing creates maximum ambiguity for allied manufacturers, component suppliers, and international customers who source from multiple named companies. L.E. Harris Technologies and Anduril Industries represent two distinct threat archetypes for investors to track. L.E. Harris is a scaled Tier 1 prime with deep integration into U.S. military communications, electronic warfare, and intelligence systems. Anduril is a venture-backed, high-growth defense technology company whose inclusion signals that China is monitoring the next generation of U.S. defense capability, not just legacy platforms. The decision to name Anduril specifically suggests Chinese intelligence of U.S. defense modernization priorities is more granular than many market participants assume. Our view: the list functions as both a trade measure and an intelligence signal. The company's name tells observers exactly which U.S. defense technology vectors Beijing considers most threatening. For private equity investors and institutional allocators building exposure to defense technology, the Anduril inclusion is a buy signal, not a warning. It confirms product market relevance at the highest level of geopolitical competition. Boeing sits at the fault line between commercial revenue and geopolitical exposure. Boeing's position on the list creates a bifurcated risk profile that equity analysts have not yet fully priced. The company derives substantial commercial revenue from Chinese airline customers, a relationship that predates the current U.S.-China tension cycle and survived earlier rounds of tariff escalation. Being formally named in a Chinese trade restriction framework is categorically different from tariff friction. It creates legal and compliance uncertainty for Chinese state-owned airlines, their financiers, and the European and Asian parts suppliers who share production networks with Boeing. The implication: Boeing's commercial backlog from Chinese carriers, details of which were not disclosed in available reporting at time of writing, now carries a renegotiation risk premium that did not exist at the start of 2026. Investors holding Boeing paper, whether equity or high-yield bonds tied to its recovery trajectory, face a new variable that sits outside the company's operational turnaround narrative. This dynamic echoes the 2019 to 2020 period when the 737 MAX grounding intersected with early U.S.-China trade tension, creating compounding headwinds for Boeing's China revenue. The current situation differs in one critical respect. This time, the restriction originates from Beijing's regulatory apparatus, not from an airworthiness determination, making it harder for Boeing to resolve through engineering or certification processes. Lockheed Martin and the irrelevance of Chinese market exposure for pure play primes for Lockheed Martin. The practical revenue impact of China's blacklist is close to zero. Lockheed derives virtually no direct revenue from Chinese customers by design, given the classified and export-controlled nature of its F-35, missile defense, and space systems portfolios. The listing of Lockheed is better understood as a diplomatic statement than a commercial threat. The strategic risk runs in the opposite direction. China is a major producer of rare earth elements and specialty materials used in defense manufacturing, including components relevant to Lockheed's supply chain. Prior reporting has documented U.S. defense industry dependence on Chinese rare earth processing, with figures suggesting China controls a dominant share of global rare earth refining capacity. Historical industry data as of 2024 to 2025 estimates from U.S. Geological Survey and Department of Defense sourcing assessments. If Beijing moves from restricting trade with named firms to restricting export of materials those firms require, the calculus changes fundamentally. Key risk: a secondary Chinese action restricting rare earth or specialty material exports to named companies or their sub-tier suppliers would represent a supply chain disruption with no short-term domestic substitute. U.S. defense procurement timelines would face pressure measured in years, not quarters. Our view: investors in Lockheed and Northrop Grumman, not named in available reporting but operating in the same supply network, should treat this blacklist as a leading indicator of materials pressure, not just a headline event. The companies named today are the companies whose sub-tier supply chains will be stress-tested if China escalates. Private equity capital flows into defense technology accelerate on geopolitical validation. Anduril's inclusion on China's restricted list arrives at a moment when private capital is allocating to defense technology at a pace not seen since the post-9/11 surge in government security spending. Anduril has raised multiple rounds of venture and growth equity at escalating valuations, with terms of its most recent capital raises not fully disclosed in public reporting. The company's autonomy and unmanned systems focus positions it directly against Chinese military modernization priorities. For private equity and growth equity investors, the signal embedded in China's targeting of Anduril is straightforward. Beijing has identified the company as a relevant threat. That is a reference check from the most consequential adversary in the competitive landscape. The broader defense technology private equity theme, encompassing autonomous systems, electronic warfare, AI-enabled ISR, and software-defined communications, now carries explicit geopolitical validation. Funds with exposure to this category, including players in the defense tech venture ecosystem, can point to China's blacklist as third-party confirmation of strategic relevance. Note: revenue and exposure figures are analytical characterizations based on publicly known business profiles. Specific figures tied to Chinese trade affected by this action were not disclosed in available reporting. The Plaquemium view: the market is reading China's 56-firm blacklist as a trade story. It is actually a manufacturing story, and the second-order effects land hardest on companies that nobody has named yet. The firms on this list are the primes and the platforms. The firms not on this list are the hundreds of sub-tier component manufacturers, specialty materials processors, precision machining shops, and electronics assemblers who supply the named companies. China's trade restriction does not name those firms because it does not need to. Restricting trade with Boeing does not require China to name Boeing's fastener supplier or its hydraulics subcontractor. The pressure propagates down the chain automatically. For institutional capital, this creates an asymmetric opportunity in domestic defense supply chain infrastructure. The U.S. government has been signaling for several years, through the Defense Production Act, CHIPS Act adjacent industrial policy, and Pentagon supplier development programs, that domestic manufacturing capacity for defense-critical components is a national priority. China's blacklist accelerates the political urgency of that investment. Companies building domestic capacity in rare earth processing, specialty alloys, precision electronics, and advanced composites are now operating with a geopolitical tailwind that is structural, not cyclical. Plaquemium's specific thesis: the most durable investment opportunity created by this blacklist is not in the named primes. It is in the domestic industrial infrastructure plays that sit one level below the headline: materials companies, advanced manufacturers, and logistics firms with defense-qualified supply chain positions. These assets trade at lower multiples than defense primes, carry less political visibility, and are now more strategically essential than at any point in the post-Cold War era. The second-order play is international. U.S. allies in Europe, Japan, South Korea, and Australia face the same supply chain vulnerability. The named firms supply allied militaries, not just the Pentagon. Allied governments will accelerate their own domestic defense industrial base investments in response, creating parallel capital deployment opportunities across NATO and Indo-Pacific partner nations. The bottom line: China's trade restrictions on 56 U.S. defense and aerospace firms represent a structural escalation, not a negotiating tactic, and the investment implications extend well beyond the companies named. Boeing faces commercial revenue risk that its turnaround model has not priced. Lockheed faces materials risk that its equity valuation has not priced. Anduril and the defense technology cohort receive geopolitical validation that accelerates private capital formation. The forward-looking claim, the U.S. defense industrial base will see accelerated government-backed investment in domestic supply chain resilience through 2026 and into 2027, driven directly by actions like this one. Private equity funds and institutional allocators who position in domestic defense manufacturing infrastructure in the next 12 months will enter ahead of a policy-driven capital cycle that is only beginning to build.